listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skulls in a pool of cerebral spinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Didn't history already happen? Part 3. Before I get started, let me give you a little programming note. For this episode and the next, I'm not going to relate the study of history to the martial arts. Instead, I'm going to spend these two episodes giving an example of how science has recently filled in a lot of holes in our knowledge of a particular episode in history. I know from your feedback that many of you especially like the episodes in which I talk about history. But if this holds no interest for you, I get it. Just wait until two episodes from this one, and I'll get back to explaining how the way we study and view history in general has parallels in the way we study and view the history of the martial arts. Okay, back to the podcast. The Dark Ages. This often misused phrase brings to mind chainmail-clad warriors fighting to either defend or take a territory, or filthy, starving peasants barely eking out a living through subsistence farming, or domineering bishops dictating the life decisions to the members of their illiterate flock. The Dark Ages. Historians hate that phrase. It's loaded with emotions and misconceptions that aren't helpful for understanding the period between the fall of the western half of the Roman Empire and the reign of Charlemagne. The preferred term is now Late Antiquity. Whatever we call this period, what brought it on? The fall of the Roman Empire, right? Well, actually, the fall of the Roman Empire is another deceptive and misused phrase. It can bring to mind images of cruel barbarian hordes raping and pillaging their way through the Eternal City, leaving smoldering ruins in their wake. Well, that's a way too simplistic view, and nowhere near what really happened. The truth is, the real story is much more subtle, complex, and much more interesting, and very important to understand. The Roman Empire didn't fall all at once. And after the western half of the empire disintegrated, it took longer for the Dark Ages, so to speak, to kick in than many people think. Why is it important for us to understand when, how, and why an empire that reached its peak 2,000 years ago fell? The Roman government, in one form or another, lasted for 2,000 years. And for the roughly four centuries of its geographic and cultural peak, was, in many ways, like the United States today. Its military might was unchallenged in the known world. Its culture and language displaced much of the aboriginal culture and language in many places in the known world, both inside and outside the borders of the empire. The whole known world looked to Rome for leadership. Sound familiar? This makes studying the history of Rome's fall a golden opportunity to do an autopsy on a society and a political structure that went from the greatest heights to the lowest depths. I believe it's a healthy and important exercise to do this, and to learn lessons that might help us prevent it from happening here. First, let's lay some groundwork. One way to look at a civilization is that it's a way for humans to band together to resist the stressors of the natural world. Stressors like climate change, pandemic diseases, drought, and famine. Their efforts are often further complicated by other stressors brought on by humans themselves, which include war, barbarian invasion, corruption, and poor leadership. When a civilization does a good job for an extended period of time of holding up to all these stressors, it's considered a success. Civilizations that fail to do so become dust. Rome began as a small city-state in central Italy in 753 BCE. It grew gradually bigger, but remained a kingdom for its first 250 years or so, after which it became a republic. After 5 centuries as a republic, Rome had acquired a lot of territory around the Mediterranean Sea, and continued to do so after the government changed to one with an emperor in charge, becoming an empire in name as well as in fact. At its peak, it completely encircled the Mediterranean Sea and contained territory that now makes up more than 30 separate modern countries. That's astonishing. That such a vast swath of territory could be efficiently administered, when you consider that information at that time could travel no faster than a horse or a boat. But administered efficiently it was. At least it was during those 4 peak centuries, and especially well during the roughly 200-year stretch from the reign of the Emperor Augustus through the reign of the Emperor Marcus Aurelius, from about 27 BCE to about 180 CE, an era called the Pax Romana, or Roman Peace. During this time, the average citizen of the empire experienced little to no military violence, and the standard of living was vastly improved over that of the people who had lived in the same regions before, or long after this time period, or of the people who lived in many other parts of the world. For much of its history, a merchant could send a ship or caravan loaded with trade goods safely from one end of the empire to the other, without fear of pirates or bandits. That was exceptional in world history. People of only middling income were able to purchase trade goods from the far reaches of the empire that in earlier or later times would be considered luxuries, available only to the very wealthy, very much like our economy today. Many inhabitants of the empire were well-traveled, a phenomenon otherwise rare in the ancient world, and you could get by just about anywhere within its borders, and even on the fringes beyond, by speaking one of its 2 major languages, Latin or Greek. Then, roughly 1,000 years after the founding of Rome, in the late 2nd century CE, the good times peaked and things began to go downhill. A couple of centuries later, the western half of the empire had disintegrated into a number of kingdoms ruled by men from a variety of different Germanic tribes. What is now modern Italy, including the city of Rome, now belonged to the Ostrogoths, Spain to the Visigoths, most of modern France was ruled by the Franks, Britain belonged to the Saxons, and North Africa to the Vandals. The eastern half of the empire survived this process pretty much intact. It was to go on, in one form or another, slowly diminishing in size, for another 1,000 years. Despite the fact that the city of Rome was no longer part of the empire, the people in what was left of the empire still thought of themselves as Romans, and called themselves Romans, although they did it in the Greek language. Back in what had been the western half of the empire, the transfer of power to Germanic leaders was seldom as violent as is commonly thought. The various tribes that now ruled kingdoms in the west had been strongly influenced by living on the margins of the empire for centuries. They had, to a large extent, already been Romanized. Many of them had served in the Roman army. As a matter of fact, by this time, a huge fraction of the Roman army was made up of Germanic people. Despite this political change, for the average citizen and peasant in the West, hardly any aspect of daily life changed. The culture was virtually unchanged. The economy kept moving along as if nothing had happened. In many ways, it was nothing more than old business under new management. The mental picture many of us have of snarling barbarians raping and pillaging, leaving smoking ruins behind, is way off the mark in many, but not all, cases. This was not yet the beginning of the Dark Ages. Yet it is true that by several centuries after this, the economy had collapsed down to mostly subsistence farming. The population was vastly smaller. Many cities were deserted and in ruins. The level of education and literacy had plummeted, and life was likely to be short, miserable, and more than occasionally violent. In other words, the Dark Ages. So what happened? If the fall of the Western Empire hadn't brought on this collapse, what had? This has been debated among historians for a long time. The few surviving written records from this period are not much help. But very recently, science has provided a lot of information about the collapse of the West. And I'll tell you all about it next time. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think, and check out old episodes of the Martial Brain podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for the Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or about the Rising Phoenix Academy at my website, rpmartialarts.com.